Welcome to iFormRx, where we explore the evidence that matters to ambulatory care pharmacy practice. My name is Stuart Haynes, Editor-in-Chief of iFormRx, and joining me today is Suzanne Molino to talk about the use of statin therapy in patients at intermediate risk for cardiovascular events. Statins have a well-documented and proven benefit in many high-risk patient populations, particularly those with established coronary artery disease and those with type 2 diabetes. But their use in patients who are at only moderate or intermediate risk is less clear. Moreover, many of the previous studies recruited primarily white men, limiting the generalizability of the results. Most recently, the HOPE-3 study was published in April 2016 in the New England Journal of Medicine. Dr. Molino is a clinical instructor and is completing her PGY2 ambulatory care pharmacy practice residency at the University of Illinois at Chicago. Suzanne co-authored a commentary with Dr. Michael Brenner from the Ann Arbor VA Medical Center for iFormRx entitled HOPE-3, Expanded Role of Statin Therapy for Primary Prevention. Suzanne, thank you for joining me today for the iFormRx podcast.
Thank you, Stuart, and thank you for having me here today.
So, Suzanne, if you had to briefly summarize in four sentences or less the study entitled Cholesterol Lowering in Intermediate Risk Persons Without Cardiovascular Disease to someone who hasn't read the paper, what would you say?
This clinical trial, also referred to as the HOPE-3 trial, focused on the cholesterol-lowering results of a larger study that also encompassed blood pressure-lowering therapies for the primary prevention of cardiovascular events in patients at intermediate risk for cardiovascular disease. What was unique about this trial was that it looked at one of the uncertainty populations, which has not been extensively studied in the larger cardiovascular trials previously, including women and non-Caucasian patients, so specifically Asian and Hispanic patients. The trial concluded that treatment with a moderate intensity statin for over 5 years decreases the incidence of cardiovascular events and mortality in this patient population by about 24% versus placebo. When considering who to apply this new data to in clinical practice, I think about those patients without cardiovascular disease but who are at intermediate risk, such as men ages over 55 or women age over 65, with one or more risk factor including a family history of cardiovascular disease, mild kidney dysfunction, or a metabolic syndrome picture, where there's elements of elevated inflammatory markers, cholesterol, or weight.
So, Suzanne, what do you believe are the key strengths and potential weaknesses of the HOPE-3 study? And are there any sources of bias or confounders present in the study that you believe may have impacted the results?
There are both strengths and weaknesses to the HOPE-3 trial that should both be considered when thinking about who to apply the results to. The key strength that improved the internal validity of the trial was its strong study design. This was a randomized, double-blind, 2x2 factorial trial that enrolled over 12,000 patients. Because this portion of the trial specifically focused on the cholesterol-lowering results, but the HOPE-3 trial also encompassed blood pressure-lowering therapy, the 2x2 factorial design should have theoretically eliminated any confounding results. Some key weaknesses of the internal validity of the trial include the variation and individualization of lifestyle coaching, as well as the variation in practice patterns, given that the clinical sites were included from 21 different countries. Additionally, the lack of specific details regarding adherence monitoring, how it was performed and how accurate it was, draw into question the true impact of statin therapy.
Now, did the results of the HOPE-3 study finally put to rest any concerns that clinicians may have about the use of statin therapy in patients who are at moderate risk of cardiovascular disease? Are there any patient populations where you think we still don't have enough data? And are there any patient populations where you'd think twice or perhaps avoid their use?
The patient population included in this trial was reflective of women, Asian, and Hispanic patients who are at intermediate risk of cardiovascular disease. However, the results in the study inclusion group does support the risk-based treatment approach for primary prevention with statins, as described by the American College of Cardiology and the American Heart Association guidelines. Each patient should certainly be considered on an individual basis for the appropriateness of primary prevention with a moderate intensity statin. patients at high risk for the development of diabetes, and those with a metabolic syndrome picture are populations that I would still consider separately. The results of the HOPE-3 trial were different in terms of association between new onset of diabetes and long-term use of statins when compared to the results of the JUPITER trial. This remains an area that needs to be studied in the future, especially because the patients included in the HOPE-3 trial were at an overall lower risk of the development of diabetes than those included in the JUPITER. Additionally, this population was made up of 50% Asian patients. Therefore, I would be hesitant to apply the results to every Hispanic patient, given they only made up about 15% of the population. Although the inclusion criteria was representative of those at intermediate risk, I would also consider which patient risk factors the patient had specifically. Does the patient just have an elevated waist-to-hip ratio, or do they have an extensive family history of cardiovascular disease and premature death? These individualized factors must be considered when weighing the potential risk versus benefit of a statin therapy for the primary prevention of cardiovascular disease. Although the HOPE-3 does provide new evidence to base our practice patterns off of, not all of the questions have been answered.
Well, Suzanne, I want you to imagine you're seeing a 51-year-old obese Hispanic American man in clinic today who's been referred to you by his primary care provider for the management of high blood pressure. The patient's blood pressure has been consistently above 140 over 90 for the past 6 months, despite taking three drugs, an ACE inhibitor, chlorthalidone, and amlodipine. In addition to high blood pressure, the patient has a 30-pack year history of smoking, but quit about 3 months ago. His parents died many years ago of unknown causes. The patient states that he has five siblings. His oldest brother had a heart attack last year at the age of 60, and his four sisters, ranging in age from 49 to 58, are all in, quote, good health, as far as the patient knows. The patient tells you that his cholesterol has been pretty good. His last fasting lipid profile, documented in his chart from about a month ago, show an LDL of 106, an HDL of 34, and triglycerides of 176. All other labs are within normal limits, including his renal function and electrolytes. So in addition to starting spironolactone for treatment-resistant hypertension, would you consider statin therapy for this patient? And if not, why not? And if yes, what agent would you use and at what dose? And how would you monitor this patient for any safety concerns?
This is a great patient example because he identifies a gray area, which always comes up when studies like the HOPE-3 are published. The patient would not have met the inclusion criteria for the study, given he's only 51 years old. However, he has more than one cardiovascular risk factor. He's certainly at intermediate, if not higher than intermediate risk, given his elevated blood pressure on triple therapy, a family history of premature coronary artery disease, an elevated waist-to-hip ratio, a long-standing use of tobacco, and a low high-density lipoprotein. Considering all of these factors, I would likely start this patient on a moderate intensity statin, such as rosuvastatin 10 milligrams a day. When applying the risk-based approach of the American College of Cardiology and the American Heart Association guidelines, this patient would fall under the consider the risk versus benefit group. When considering the risk versus benefit, we can think about the safety data provided from the HOPE-3. It concluded that side effects were minimal with rosuvastatin therapy, and the statin therapy was discontinued no more frequently than the placebo due to muscle toxicity. There were also no increases seen in the development of liver dysfunction, cases of cancer, or new onset diabetes. However, this patient might be at higher risk for the development of diabetes than those included in the HOPE-3 trial, given his metabolic syndrome picture and ethnicity. In terms of monitoring, I would screen the patient for any baseline liver dysfunction. Additionally, I would monitor the patient for any signs of dysglycemia over time, as well as muscle toxicity per the patient's report. I would also be sure to assess the patient's adherence. Rosuvastatin just recently became generic, so this provides affordability to the therapy choice. However, the 24% decrease in the development of cardiovascular events and mortality seen in the HOPE-3 trial was only after almost 6 years of taking the medication adherently, which is defined by the trial as more than 80% of doses. It is important to consider, is this patient likely to be adherent to therapy and committed to primary prevention, or will his adherence waver over time? These are all things to consider when truly weighing a patient's risk versus benefit, especially in these gray area cases.
Well, Suzanne, I really want to thank you for joining us today to discuss the results of the HOPE-3 study, at least the cholesterol-lowering arm of the HOPE-3 study, and the evidence regarding the safety and efficacy of statin therapy, in this case, rosuvastatin, in patients at intermediate risk for cardiovascular disease. I think it's clear from your comments that you believe there is an expanded role for statin therapy for primary prevention, and that the HOPE-3 study provides us with strong evidence that middle-aged adults with only one risk factor benefit from statins. Well, tell us what you think by posting a comment. Only iFormRx members can leave comments and access other features on the site. You can become a member of iFormRx. It's free. Sign up today. Until next time, this is Stuart Haynes, signing off.